نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون صدق الله العظيم Respected elders and brothers, علماء الكرام, in this short gathering, inshallah, I would like to present to you a very, very important aspect of our deen. These are the days of Qurbani, the days of Hajj, one of the most unique lessons that we can take home. Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخِرِ. The first sacrifice of Qurban ever to be made on the surface of the earth was made by the two sons of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore Allah Rabbul Izzat says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recite upon them, expound the truth, explain to them pertaining to the two sons of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Habil and Qabil. Both of them made sacrifices. Allah accepted the one and Allah did not accept the sacrifice from the other. When Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to the universe, Allah Rabbul Izzat desired and wished there should be offspring. What was so unique? The tadbir of Allah, the taqween of Allah, the master plan of Allah took place. Every pregnancy that took place, it was a twin. Boy and girl, brother and sister. And Allah Rabbul Izzat desired and wished that the progeny of the offspring of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam must take place. So how was this possible? Allah made as such that the brother and sister in the first pregnancy could not get married to each other. But yes, the pregnancy of the second, they were allowed to marry. It happened so that Qabil, his sister, was extremely beautiful. Habil's sister was not that beautiful. She was ugly. And he refused to marry the sister of Habil. So Allah instructed them that they should make a sacrifice. And whosoever sacrifice will be accepted, the verdict will be given in favor of that person. Both of them were farmers. One was engaged in livestock, the other in grain. Habil chose and selected the best of an animal to sacrifice for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Where Qabil was overtaken with jealousy and malice, he lost his akal and his senses. He took some wheat, not the best quality. And in the former times, they would have a place where they would sacrifice the Qurban. And the fire from the heavens would come and usurp, or devour, or take away that Qurban. And this was the sign, it was accepted. Both of them placed their sacrifices. Allah Rabbul Izzat accepted the sacrifice of Habil. It was then when Qabil said, لَأُقَتِّلَنَّكَ, because of the hatred, malice and jealousy, that I will slay and I will kill you. Habil responded, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Let it be known to you that Allah Rabbul Izzat only accepts an action, a deed, an amal that is filled with taqwa, that is filled with ikhlas. So what do we learn from the Qurban? Because in Arabic the word Qurb means nearness. Any action, any deed, anything done for the nearness of Allah, to gain Allah's Qurb, Allah's nearness, we term this as Qurban. Now, no action and deed of ours will be accepted in the eyes of Allah if it's void of taqwa, if it's void of ikhlas and sincerity. Therefore, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says, Wallah, I take a qasam on Allah's name, that if I come to know that Allah have accepted one single deed of mine, then I will preserve, I will honor that deed. If the entire world was turned into solid gold, I will not exchange it for that one deed. Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, we should not concentrate and focus on the quantity of ibadah that we make. 100,000 tasbihs a day, 100,000 salah a day. Yes, we should focus and concentrate on how should our actions and our deed and our amal be accepted in the eyes of Allah. Because when an amal is accepted in the eyes of Allah, it will manifest in your system. Through your eyes, through your ears, through your tongue, through your nose, through your limbs. Now, this is the lesson that we take from Qurban. Now, let us look at the effect of this taqwa. Let us define this taqwa and put it into a practical context. We turn back the pages of history. Umar radiallahu ta'ala sent a delegation to the Roman Empire. Now, don't forget, looking at events that are transpiring, the events in Gaza, in Syria, in Egypt, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Somalia, Libya, many parts of the world. And I always say to my friends, Al-Umur bi-maqasidiha. Why do we speak of these events? Why do we remind our people of the events? Not because we want to pass time and tell you a story. Every affair or affairs are judged to the degree of the object or the aim that it achieves. Now, why do we mention this? So that myself and you, we can take ibrat and we can take lesson. Do not forget, it's a clear-cut sign that the war on Islam has been declared. Now, it is our duty and our responsibility to respond to that war in whichever way we can. But nevertheless, let us look at the story. He sent a delegation to the Roman Empire. They were the superpowers of the world. The emperor read the letter of Amir al-Mu'minin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he asked the spokesman of the delegation, tell me something. Can you describe who is this Umar? Who is your leader? Now don't forget, a person of iman and taqwa can only describe a leader in two words. Now pay attention to this. These are the results and the fruit of that taqwa. He said to the emperor, the Amir is a person, la yakhda wa la yughda. There are many students here. In Arabic we use the term madhi ma'aruf, and we use the term madhi majhool. One is a passive voice and one is an active voice. It changed the meaning. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, only two words I can describe him. La yakhda wa la yukhda. What does this mean? He does not deceive anybody, nor is he deceived. They do not speak of the Salah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They did not speak of the Tasbih of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They did not speak of the Tilawat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They spoke of his taqwa. Two words. La yakhda wa la yukhda. He does not deceive anybody, nor is he deceived. The emperor spoke to his people and he said, let it be known to you, a person who does not deceive anybody is the perfection of his iman. And a person who cannot be deceived is a sign of the perfection of his intellect and his aql. And let it be known to you, that Allah's aid and nusrat will always be with this person. You will never be victorious if you fight against him. Respected elders and brothers, take the two qualities home. These are the results and the fruit of taqwa. Look at our lives, our tongue, our contracts, our heart. Do we deceive people? Study your lives. The hadith is said, إِذَا عَظَّمَتْ أُمَّتِي نُزِعَتْ حَيْبَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَإِذَا تَرَكَتْ أَمْرًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّيْحَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ حُرِّمَتْ بَرَكَةُ الْوَحِي وَإِذَا تَسَابَتْ أُمَّتِي سَقَطَتْ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. That when this ummah will attach importance to the dunya, then you will find the respect and the honor of Islam will be taken out of your hearts. Look at our lives and ask yourself, how much respect and honor have we attached to the dunya? Allah will remove from your heart the honor and the respect of Islam. When this ummah would neglect the duty of amal bil ma'aruf, in other words, you see people doing things wrong, you refuse to reprimand them. You refuse to tell them what is right. You refuse to encourage them to do good things. Then you must bear in mind that you will be deprived of the barakah of wahi. And today we can see it in our lives. Many of us will see our youth, our children engage in wrong things whilst coming to the masjid, whilst going home. Will you have the courage to speak to the youth, to the children, to our young girls and boys? Would you put your hands over their head and explain them? Is the importance of amal bil ma'aruf wa nahy anil munkar in your heart? Do you speak to your wives? Do you speak to your families when you see wrong? Bear in mind the consequences of this is that you will be deprived of the barakah of wahi. إِذَا تَسَابَتْ أُمَّتِي سَقَطَتْ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. When this ummah will start abusing and finding fault with each other, then in the eyes of Allah, you will be disgraced. And what are you finding? Where is the war of this ummah? Not against the enemies of Allah. Where is the war? It is against each other. So what do we say? لا يخدع ولا يخدع. Three battles fought on the surface of the earth. Major battles. Fatah Makkah, the conquest of Makkah on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jerusalem on the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Damascus on the hands of Khalid bin Walid, Saifu min Suyufillah, the sword amongst the sword of Allah. When he conquered Damascus, one of the greatest or the most powerful warriors amongst the Romans, they were killed on the hands of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. It was then when the governor decided to take revenge and he appointed a person, paid him great sum of money, that I want you to go to Medina to assassinate Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now this is the lesson that we take from the Qurbani. What lesson? Taqwa. Do not forget, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed Hazrat Ma'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala to Yemen. Now pay attention to this. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on foot. Ma'adh ibn Jabal was on ride on the mount. He held the reins and he led him to the outskirts of Medina. And what did he say to Ma'adh ibn Jabal? Ma'adh, who knows? You might not return and find me here, but my qabr mubarak will be there. Ma'adh ibn Jabal was reduced to tears. He understood the meaning of this, that I will not see my most beloved. And he said, Ma'adh, this is my final nasiha to you. Inna awla an-nasi bihi yawm al-qiyamati al-muttaqeen. Man kanu wa haythu kan. Let it be known to you, the closest amongst my ummah to me on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be the person who has the greatest of taqwa. No matter who you are, your color, your shape, your size, your skin does not matter. What matters in the eyes of Allah, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. So I say, look at our lives. Do we find that taqwa? When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala appointed his commanders to go and fight in jihad, look at his nasiha that he gave them. Every warrior, every commando that he took out, he led them to the outskirts of Medina, and he said to them, this was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he made his final nasiha. Ittaqillah mastata'at, wahkum bil'adl, wasalli salatan limiqatiha, wa'akthir dhikr Allah. This is the result and the fruit of the taqwa. Four factors. Take those factors, look at our lives, and do we find those factors? Imagine going into jihad, facing the enemy, taking your lives and placing your life in front of you. What was the nasiha? Four factors. Ittaqillah mastata'at. Fear Allah as much as possible. Develop into your system the taqwa as much as possible. Perform your salah in the prescribed time. Do not delay your salah, nor make qada of your salah. When you're giving judgment, wahkum bil adl, be honest in your judgment. We look at our lives, respected elders and brothers, what are we finding? Parents have passed away. What are people doing with inheritance? You look at your life, I look at my life. Is this adl important to us? Does it mean anything to us? Do not forget, every act, every amal that displeases Allah, myself and you will find the consequences of that. Fi dunya wal akhirah. And number four, increase the dhikr of Allah. So when you leave here, keep these four factors in mind. Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Fear Allah as much as possible. Inculcate into your life the taqwa. And I always mention to you, and I said, any amal that is performed with taqwa, we can define the taqwa as ikhlas and sincerity. Any amal that is performed with taqwa, any amal that is performed with ikhlas and sincerity, you can rest assured that amal will be maqbool in the Allah. When an amal is maqbool in the eyes of Allah, you can rest assured that amal will manifest in your life. And when an amal is performed, which is void of taqwa, which is void of ikhlas and sincerity, then you will find that amal is not maqbool. When an amal is not maqbool in the eyes of Allah, then you find we have a problem. We cannot find the effect of that amal. And I always say to you, many a times we ask ourselves, why are these eyes engaged in wrong things? Why are the limbs engaged in wrong things? Why are the ears engaged in wrong things? Why is the mind and the heart contemplating wrong things? Your answer is this. Go back to the drawing board. Look at your amal. As Ali radiallahu anhu said, do not look at the quantity, but look at the quality. Look at the ways and the means that I must present my amal and my action to Allah, that Allah Rabbul Izzat can accept it. So nevertheless, the governor appointed somebody to assassinate Umar radiallahu ta'ala. This person went to Medina, stationed himself on the outskirts of Medina. It happened so in that point of time, Amir Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala was on the outskirts of Medina to take care and look after the orchards that he allocated for the orphans. So when he completed his rounds to see how are the orchards faring, this belonged to the orphans. It was midday and Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu decided to take a nap, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah and also it is the practice of the Arabs. He went to the outskirts of Medina, found a tree, lay down on the barren soils of the desert, took a rock and placed the rock behind his head and he fell asleep. Now look here, respected elders and brothers, when we develop that yaqeen and that faith in Allah, then of course nothing on the surface of the earth creates fear in us. Whilst he was asleep, the assassin decided, this is the opportunity now. to slay and assassinate and kill Amir al-Mu'minin Umar radiallahu anhu. As he got off the tree, a lion from the wilderness came and it licked the hands and the feet of Amir al-Mu'minin. He was amazed and astonished. It was then when a voice called out from the heavens, "O Umar, you have been just in your actions and your deeds, therefore you will be safe." Can we see the effect of honesty, adl, justice, when we sit down with two parties, be it my father, be it my mother, be it my closest of relatives? What is important is the taqwa, is the ikhlas and the sincerity that Allah Rabbul Izzat accepts. When Umar woke up, the lion ran away. He wiped his eyes off and suddenly this person came and he threw himself at the feet of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar was astonished and asked him, "What is this?" And he said, "Umar, let me relate my story to you. I've been appointed accepting a huge sum of money to assassinate you. But let me tell you, Umar, that my mother and father be sacrificed upon you, whom the animals in the wild are sent to guard and preserve you. The voice call out in the heavens that, O Umar, because you are just, you will be safe. The angels praise you, O Umar. The jinn respect and honor you." Immediately he picked up his hands and on the hands of Umar he recited his shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Can we see the definition of this taqwa? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, when he received the message from Amr ibn As complaining that Amir al-Mu'mineen, the forces are great in number, sahabas are small in number, how do we fight? He wrote back and said, "Let it be known to you, never ever will this ummah be defeated because of the numbers being small. Yes, you will be vanquished. You will be destroyed in disgrace because of the engagement in sin. When you engage in sin, then you must bear in mind your numbers can be great. But in the eyes of Allah, you will have no worth. You will have no honor. You will have no dignity. Therefore, my advice to you is what? Be very careful to see that you safeguard and protect yourself from sin." When they were fighting against the Romans, in the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the Romans sent spies to pick up information from the Muslim army. A day or two they spent amongst the Muslims. Arab Christians looking like Muslims, dressing like Muslims, performing salah like Muslims. And after a day or two they returned. So the emperor wanted to know, what did you find? Their reinforcements, what weapons have they got? Why are these people so powerful? He said, "In terms of military might, there's nothing that I see. But what do I observe? وَبِاللَّيْلِ رُحْبَانٌ وَبِالنَّهَارِ فُرَسَانٌ لَوْ سَرَكَ إِبْنُ مَلِكِهِمْ قَتَأُوا لَوْ زَنَى رُجِمَ الْإِقَامَةِ الْحَقِّ." Children, youth, pay attention to this. What do we find in terms of military might? Nothing, absolutely nothing. But yes, when sun sets, what do we find? These great sahaba, they engage in ibadat. They cry like little children before their creator, with the fear that Allah, we must not commit sin. And during the course of the day, they are like lions in the battlefield. What I observe, if their king or the sons of their king steal, they will chop off his hands. If he commits zina, they will stone him to death. This is the information that he brought back. The emperor says,
إن كنت صدقا لبطن الأرض خير من لقائها على ظهرها.
If you are truthful in what you are saying, let it be known to my people. It's preferable that we buried in the earth than to face these people in the battlefield.
Why?
When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala went into battlefield, when they launched their attack, the earth responded as if an earthquake was overtaking the earth. The skies responded as if thunder was overwhelming. When they launched their attack and recited the takbir, it sounded like the roar of the animals, of the lions attacking their prey. This is how powerful the Sahabas were. What did they have with them? Nothing but taqwa and iman. I conclude on one story. Children, youth in particular, pay attention to this. Today we find in Natal especially, scarcity of rain, certain place in your area, there are water restrictions. Now let it be known to us, money cannot purchase a drop of water. Empires cannot produce a drop of water. Armies cannot produce a drop of water. Yes, the ikhlas, the sincerity and the taqwa in the heart of the mu'min can cause thousands and thousands of liters in a split second to be showered upon us. This is how powerful this ummah. When the Sahabas were fighting in Egypt, for many a month they fought under the commandership of Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala. And he wrote to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala stating the condition of the army. Losses, injuries, and the animals are dying. There is no water. We need reinforcements. A person came and he suggested, Amir Mu'mineen, we need 4 persons to take up the challenge. Amir Mu'mineen said, 4? He asked for 4,000. Said, no, 4 of us is sufficient. He insisted and they sent the 4 off. Before they went, 2 rakat salah, they went to the Mubarak qabr of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they made a dua and they set out. The person who gave this nasiya or this mashura that 4 of us is needed, when he reached Egypt, he managed to penetrate the front lines of the enemies and he reached the king. When he reached the king, he introduced himself, nahnu ashabu Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Simple terms, not I'm ala hazrat, so and so, the grand mufti of so and so. We are the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the lifestyle of Sahaba. The king said to him, you're only 4, you ask for 4,000. Now children, pay attention to this very carefully. He said to the king, tell me something. What is needed? Is battle needed? Is victory needed? Or is water more important? He said, yes. If there's no water, on both sides, the army will sustain losses. Animals will die. We cannot see to the injury. So tell me something. If your army and our army put together cannot produce that water, are we of any benefit to anybody? If that 4,000 reinforcements cannot produce the water, are we benefit to anybody? But if these 4 persons can produce the water, will they not have a greater capability and capacity than all of us? He said, yes indeed. Put his musalla down. He made 2 rakat salatul hajah. When he completed the salatul hajah, he picked up his hands and he cried unto Allah Rabbul Izzah. Oh Allah, for the sake of the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah, do not disgrace us, Allah. Allah, water is needed, Allah. It is impossible for us because of our sin and our evil. We can produce that water. But wallah Allah, you got the capabilities and the qudrat. Forgive us for our shortcoming Allah. And I ask you Allah to shower that water. The king said, it wasn't even a second when he completed his dua. A small little cloud hovered over them. And wallah, so much rain that everyone in the army drank. They filled their water bags. The holes that they provided for water was filled. The animals were filled. It was then when the king said, خُذْ هَذَا الْمِفْتَحِ, take the keys of the fort, you cannot fight against an army as such. So what do I say? Water is needed. Money cannot purchase that water. Strength cannot purchase that water. What can purchase that water is when myself and you start to cry before Allah. Allah will transform those tears into tears of rahmah. So what do we say over the next few days? In form of sadaqah, in form of istighfar, in form of tawbah, turn unto Allah. And wallahi al-azim, especially our little ones, our younger ones, our children, when we get home, ask them when you have completed your tilawat of Quran, pick up your hands and ask Allah. I look at my life and I say, Allah, I look at the sins that I've committed for the day, Allah. I ask you for forgiveness for those sins, Allah. And Allah, please, Allah, I turn upon you, Allah. As Sahabas have did, Allah, we have nothing in our capabilities, nothing in our power, there is no good deeds. But solely, Allah, we depend on your mercy, Allah, and we ask you, Allah, to send forth rain of rahmah and mercy. Allahumma anzil anayna al-ghayth, nafi'an ghayra dharin. Allahumma sahiban nafi'a. Jazakumullah.